Bible to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, and I still don't think it's fair. These music people get to play, I don't know, you probably played 20 songs there, Brother Tom. Right? Parts of 20 different songs. We had Christmas, Easter, 4th of July, everything there. Amen? All in one medley. I tried to preach more than one sermon. You guys would go home after the first one. Amen? They thought, bless the Lord, we don't get to play very often by ourselves. When we do, we're going to take a little while. Amen? Get it done. That's not bad. All right. Very good. You say, well, I heard a sour note in there, too. Hey, folks, if we get to the play perfect every time, before we do something, we're going to wait a long time for stuff to get done around here. So, good job. A lot of those are young kids learning to play. And the way to learn to play is play. And play, and play, and play. Amen. Just like a young preacher learning to preach. You got to preach him. Got to preach him. Preach him, preach him. And he's going to say some things that are crazy and dumb, off the wall. So do old preachers. Amen. So, you got to learn. Let's stand together. Breathe, please. Breathe. Verse number 10. Verse number 10 is my only verse tonight, my text. We'll do it, but we'll go to some other passages, but this is where we're going to start. Proverbs 24, verse 10. I said this morning, the Lord had brought to my heart and mind the subject of adversity. Proverbs 24, 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Let's read that together. Would you please? Ready? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us tonight get some good out of this verse here because there's sure a lot in it. I pray that you'll help us squeeze some juice out of it and get something for our hearts, Lord, to help us. I reach down tonight, encourage the soul that needs it the most. Help some of us, Lord, that are okay right now to put some in the tank for reserve. May we just learn Bible truth and principle that'll impact our lives, help our children, build our marriages. Help us to be what you want us to be. Bless these folks that sing. May their song prepare our hearts for the message to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll hear the song.
He that believeth on the Son, said he, hath everlasting life. Have everlasting, have everlasting.
wonderful, folks. I enjoyed that. And a good variety of music today. I've enjoyed it here at the church. I appreciate you folks that work hard. Some of these songs are not that easy to sing. It takes a lot of good practice. I appreciate that. And a good song. Great, great message. The message makes the song. Great message. Good singing tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject of the day of adversity. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So let's speak a little while tonight on the subject, the day of adversity, and see if it could be a help to folks in the room. Father, thank you for your book. Thank you that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for instantaneous, complete, full salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the day that grace shined in our hearts, the message of God, and we repented and turned to the Lord for complete, full, and instantaneous salvation. Thank you for the promises in your book. Thank you, Lord, for all the good music of this day that's blessed our hearts. And now the privilege to preach your book is ours once again, and the privilege to listen. I pray we'd be disciplined, Lord. Sit up, pay attention, because there might be a sentence or two in this that would literally help us so much we couldn't even put a price tag on it. Help me tonight. May my mind be clear. May my words and my voice hold out, and I thank you for it. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Proverbs is a wonderful book. If you have a hard time reading your Bible, jump into the book of Proverbs, read the corresponding chapter with the day, and just ask God to work in your heart every day. Today is August 28th. If you haven't read your Bible, go home and read the 28th chapter of Proverbs tonight. If you're having a hard time getting in the routine, read the 29th chapter tomorrow. You say, what do I do after August 31st? Start over again. September 1, read the first chapter. Read the second chapter on day 2. That's a good way to get in the habit of reading your Bible. Gives you a plan. It's a great book. Contrasting wisdom and foolishness. Work ethic versus laziness and so on. So much in here. Some are one sentence proverbs of wisdom. Someone called them winged. I like that. Winged words of heavenly wisdom. Winged words. High words. Valuable words, precious words. Now, this is one such proverb and has been on my mind this week. Adversity. Adversity. No one likes it. No one should wish for it. No one should seek it, but everyone should expect it. Adversity. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes as well. Hold your finger here in Proverbs 24. Turn over a few pages to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. You'll find that. You get to the end of the book of Proverbs and turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon was the human pen of this book. And find verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 7 verse number 14. Notice what he said here. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy it. Nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be ashamed to enjoy God's prosperity blessing on your life. In the day of prosperity, you don't have to hang your head if you get a new car, folks. You don't have to hang your head and be ashamed if you wear a new suit, get to move into a new house, get to put an addition onto your home. God blesses your work ethic, and you get to have some material things. I wasn't preaching against material prosperity this morning. I'm just saying, folks, when God takes it away, we can't fall apart. But nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. Man, I stopped at a member's house. Stopped at a member's house for a quick word there. And I was just blessed by what God had enabled them to do. And a lot of it's just plain old common sense and hard work and landscaping and everything. Doing some nice things. Man, I rejoiced. It was a blessing to me. You don't have to hang your head because God prospers you. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. That's what he said. But in the day of adversity, consider. Don't fall apart. Don't throw up your hands and say, oh, why is this happening? Consider. Look at what he said. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. You see, a person can expect as many days of adversity of some sort as he has days of prosperity. And a person can expect as many days of prosperity of some sort as he has days of adversity. They are set against each other. Prosperity is set against adversity. Adversity is set against prosperity. Paul understood this truth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Look over there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 16. And look what Paul wrote here. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 9. I don't know why my throat's having a little trouble tonight. But 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 9, bear with me here. We'll go back to Proverbs in just a moment, so don't lose your place there. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, Paul wrote to the Corinthian people, he said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. There's the prosperity. Then he said, look, there are many adversaries. The one's going to be set against the other. There's nobody. Nobody's ever lived who's enjoyed only days of prosperity. And there's nobody who's ever lived who's had to endure only days of adversity. God sets one against the other. God evens it all out in the day of prosperity. Enjoy it. Rejoice. Be thankful. Recognize who buttered the bread. Recognize where it came from. Every good gift, every perfect gift coming from above. Rejoice in that. On the day of adversity, don't fall apart. Go crazy, throw your hands in the air, complain and whine and murmur and gripe. God sets one against the other. Paul knew it. Back to Proverbs chapter 24. A man by the name of Foresight said this, I quote to you, adversities do not make the man either weak nor strong, but they reveal what he is. I said it again. Adversities do not make the man either weak nor strong, but they reveal what he is. The truth of the matter is, folks, anyone can handle the helm when the sea is calm. Some of you guys have been on a boat. A lot of you guys were in the Navy. You know, man, the sea can be rough. We're up there. When you bear hunt at night, we go out about 2:30 in the afternoon. You don't get done until about 9. Then if somebody's got a bear down, you got to get the bear. You hunt 45 miles from camp, 5 miles apart. It's usually 11 o'clock to midnight to 1 o'clock. One night it was 1 o'clock in the morning before we tend the bear. You can't kill animals and just let them lay overnight. So we had to get the bear to tend to. But during the morning, we get up, we try to go fishing. Caught a lot of walleye. Boy, walleye is a good fish to eat. Delicious fish to eat. And they're fun to catch. Now, you're not there to fish. You're there to hunt bear. But, well, one day the wind was blowing. I mean, the whitecaps were about 3 feet tall in that lake out there. Man, I tell you what, coming across that thing, that little boat, that little old Johnson, you know, motor, outboard motor, man, hitting those things, water spraying out. You guys been out on the water, you know? Anybody can be at the helm when the sea is calm. But it takes strength to hold the helm when the waters are raging. When the waters are raging. This verse does not leave any room for guesswork as to whether or not adversity will come. Let me say to you, the day of adversity is coming. I'm not preaching to novices here tonight. You know that. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you are experiencing it right now. Some of you will experience it. Young people, you need to listen and take note tonight. The day of adversity is coming. It's coming. Now, I have a main point, but let me remind you here before I get to my main point that the Bible says day. Day. That's a space of time, a season. You know, we use the word day for many things. You know, we use the word day, it could mean from sun up to sunset. When the sun goes down, we're talking about night. We could use the word day, talk about a 24-hour time period. We could use the word day to mean a period of years. You know, you teenagers, you little kids, you hear it, you know, from your grandpa. In my day, we walked to school 15 miles through 8 feet of snow, uphill both directions. Amen. In my day, you hear that. All right? So the word day can mean several different things, but the point is, day, are you listening? Day does not mean forever. Amen. It does not mean forever. The day of adversity will not last forever and on and on and on and on and on and on. It will be offset by the day of prosperity, which will be offset by the day of adversity, which will be offset by the day of prosperity, which will be offset by the day of adversity. Welcome to life. Welcome to life. That's how it is. That's exactly what he's saying here. He can say the day of adversity. But I want you to notice the first word of verse number 10 in this chapter. If thou faint. What is that telling us? You don't have to. You don't have to faint. You don't have to slacken. You don't have to get weak. You don't have to get discouraged. You don't have to get and be in despair. You don't have to faint in the day of adversity, you know. People have been asking. I was able to tell a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. A lot of folks have been asking. So it was a good, it was a wonderful time there. I was hunting the first night, opening night, and I sat all night till 8 o'clock. Finally, about 5 till 8, the bear came in, came down the trail I walked in on. Stopped right down there. Look, he knew I was there. Their hearing is about 500 times that of a human being. And their smell about 250 times. And their eyesight's weak. And he kind of walked around down there and got the lid off the barrel, threw the barrel over, stuck his head in, ate a few bites of the feed. And I'm sitting there trying to, on the stand, trying to get my hand to my bow because, you see, you know what, folks, you and I can't hear that, but you magnify that 500 times. Just your clothes moving against each other, you know, and that thing will scatter away. And when I was moving to get my bow, boy, he jerked his head out, sat on his rear end, looked right up at me. Then he walked over to the stand and stood straight up at the bottom of the stand. I thought, here we go. I've always read about this happening here. I'm sitting there. He's right there. I'm just looking out the corner of my eye. Be down there. I got my gun. I got three weapons, none of them in my hand. What am I going to do? Kick him in the nose, I guess. I don't know. Well, it was just completely still and quiet, and I could hear him huffing and puffing down there, and I heard this. What is that? I said, it was my heart. I could hear my heart beating. I could hear my heart beat. Thank God it was beating. Amen. Thank God I didn't get lightheaded. He walked over and he got the barrel. I got to take him. But anyway, he made a good shot. He died in less than 15 seconds. Boom, he was dead. If thou faint, you don't have to faint. In the day of adversity, nobody has to faint. Well, I gotta have my downtime. Who said? Who told you that? You don't have to faint. You don't have to slacken. You don't have to weaken. You don't have to get discouraged. You don't have to end up in despair. But if you do, notice this, it's because your strength is small. Not because the adversity is too great. If thou faint in the day of adversity, it's because it's so severe. And God's been unfair and thrown something on you that you cannot endure. That's not what it says. It says if you faint in the day of adversity, because your strength is small. Your strength is small. Now here is our reaction to adversity. Our reaction to adversity is to find the source and eliminate it. Or at least blame my lack of strength on it or do something to alleviate it or abbreviate it or eliminate it completely. But we get in this attack mode in our mentality and we're out seeking the source of our adversity so we can destroy the adversity and remove it so that we can move on in our lives. That's not what the Bible says our problem is. I'll tell you who's given to this. Parents. Parents are especially prone to this when it comes to our kids. We have this mentality that makes us want to hover over our kids and be certain that they don't face any adversity. Nothing could be worse for our children. I read this some years ago and I located it and found it and wanted to read it again tonight. This is a grandfather writing a grandson. And this is what he wrote. We tried so hard to make things easy for our kids that we made them worse. For my grandchildren, I will know better. I would really like for them to know about hand-me-down clothing. That's all right. Homemade ice cream and leftover meatloaf. Let me read that paragraph again. I would really like for them to know about hand-me-down clothing, homemade ice cream, and leftover meatloaf. I really would. That's what he wrote. My cherished grandson, I hope you learn humility by being humiliated. You know, that's about the only way to learn humility. It's hard to learn humility if you've never humiliated. That's pretty powerful. That you learn honesty by being cheated. Oh, my child was cheated. Not the first time. Somebody's been cheated. I've been cheated. I'll never go back there. But come on, friend. No. I hope you learn honesty by being cheated, that you learn to make your own will, mow the lawn and wash your own car. And I hope nobody gives you a brand new car before you are 16. And I hope you have a job by then. It would be good if at least one time you could see a baby calf born. Some of you mothers are trying to protect your kids from blood. They need to see it. Calf born. And see your old dog put to sleep. I read that, I think of Old Yeller. I'm going to shoot his dog, man. I hope you get a black eye fighting for something you believe in. That's a badge of honor, Mom. You fall apart, go crazy, want to go down, march down there and put your 2 cents worth in. That's a badge of honor for a boy. Amen. Used to be. Did you guys ever get a black eye? You didn't go to school like this. You went to school like this. I hope you have to share a bedroom with your younger brother. It's all right to draw a line down the middle of the room, but when he wants to crawl under the cover and sleep with you because he's scared, I hope you'll let him. I hope you have to walk uphill to school with your friends and that you will live in a town where you can do so safely. And on rainy days when you have to catch a ride, your driver doesn't have to drop you 2 blocks away so you won't be seen riding with somebody as uncool as your mother. If you want a slingshot, I hope your father will teach you how to make one instead of buying you one. I hope you learn how to dig in dirt and read books. When you learn how to run those new computers, I hope you also learn how to add and subtract in your head. Well, amen. When you talk back to your mother, I hope you get a taste of what ivory soap is like. I had that happen. Anybody ever had that happen? Anybody had your mouth washed out with soap? Look around. Put your hands down. How many of you kids, 18 and under, have had your mouth washed out with soap? Raise your hand. Oh, good. This is great. Amen. You're doing better than I thought. Amen. When a friend offers you a joint or some dope, I hope you'll realize he's not your friend. I hope you make time to sit on the porch with your grandpa and go fishing with him. I hope you learn to feel sorrow at a funeral. I hope your mother punishes you when you throw a baseball through your neighbor's window. And that she hugs and kisses you at Christmas time when you give her a plaster of Paris mold of your handprint. These things I wish for you. Tough times and disappointments and hard work and happiness. Sounds like that grandpa just wanted his grandson to learn what life was all about. Why are we trying to keep our kids from it? From reality, some fantasy world. To the weightlifter, folks. To the weightlifter, to the bodybuilder, weights are his adversary. But the proper handling of the weight builds the muscle within the body. Right? Sure it does. Now, our kids need adversity. To seek a life that's for them that's free of adversity is to make them weak and sickly and anemic. They need adversity. Now, I was thinking about some of you families that sent your kids away to college. Some of you did that for the first time. College can be strenuous. It's supposed to be. It's not high school anymore. It's not elementary school anymore. College can be tough. College can be really stressful. There will be adversity for our children at college. And when they call with their tales of woe, be careful not to overreact and start attacking the school policies. That's our reaction. Remove the adversity. My child is struggling. They're weak. They're anemic. So I've got to eliminate the adversity. Don't do that. They need to learn to grow their strength. You know, I get bent out of shape. Man, our type Bible colleges are very busy places. And to be honest with you folks, until you run a college, be careful about being critical of a college schedule. How would you like to keep 200 18 to 25-year-old kids busy? That's a lot of work. Kids need to be busy. Man, 19, 20-year-olds, they got a lot of energy. They need to be busy studying. They need to be busy preparing. Yeah. Don't get out of shape when they call and say, oh, man, I got to read 5 books this semester for one class.
Oh, you poor thing. Who in the world would make you do that? No, don't answer that way, friend. Say, well, schedule some time to read.
Well, I must be hitting the nerve here somewhere. Amen.
That's what it was like in college. I'm going to tell you, folks, our independent Baptist colleges don't need to dumb down.
I visited with a boy this summer who left a certain Bible college. I said, what did you leave for? Anyway, he told me two reasons, two main reasons. And one of them said, well, Brother Angel said academically it was a farce. It was a farce. So never cracked a book. Made straight A's, made a C in English because I can't spell. Said, never had been able to spell, still can't spell. Made a C. Everything else made an A. He said, I was hauling drywall for a lumber yard. I went to the lumber yard. I said, give me as many hours as you can. I'll work as many hours as you want me to work. Be glad to make the money. So never cracked a book. He said, waste of my time. We didn't send our kids to college. They're not paying that money for a dumber down education. We don't need that, friend. We need some hard academics. They need to read. They need to study. They need to write term papers. They need to write research papers. They need to be busy. They need to learn to burn the midnight oil. You trying to protect them from that, you're not helping them. Everybody needs adversity. Don't get bent out of shape because they have some requirements on them on Saturdays and Sundays. He's got to visit 5 hours. She's got to visit 5 hours. Well, come on. Lots of our type schools have requirements for folks who are in Bible college when it comes to learning outreach ministries. That doesn't hurt them. That helps them. I tell you what, a lot of schools only have requirements for involvement of, as far as outreach and evangelism for pastoral theology majors. And if you're not a pastoral theology major, if you're an education major, if you're a female student, you're not required to do anything as far as a local church outreach. I think that's devastating. And I hope all of our kids, wherever you go to Bible college, there's some outreach opportunity. You've been reared in a family, in a church that believes in that. You don't go to Bible college to change what you believe. Go to add to it. Get involved in something, man. I mean, I would not want to hire a school administrator from a Bible college who wasn't interested in the outreach program of the church. Why would I want to do that? So he can build a school empire and have the tail wag the dog someday and have the church go to pieces. Well, that's happened. Hasn't it happened? Yes, it's happened. It's happening right now. Several places around the country. I don't want that. I like the man we got right here. He's a school administrator. He does a good job with academics and education, but he still does junior church. And when I tried to move him out of there, he asked me not to. I like that. Outreach, involvement in the local church. Why would a church want to hire a school teacher who never was involved in outreach ministry? I wouldn't want that. Why would a Christian coming out of some Bible college not be expected to work in a Sunday school or neighborhood Bible time or some outreach ministry? That school is preparing them for life. You say, my goodness, man, they're working a full-time job. And they have to 30 to 40 hours a week, and they're going to school 16, 18 class hours. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, they got these requirements, folks. They're in training. Don't try to remove that pressure. Encourage them to get strong. That's what we need. I don't know what you expect. Do you expect them to sleep in all day Saturday? Lay around? College kids aren't going to do that. If they don't have some requirements, they're going to be caught up in mischievousness of some kind. That's the honest truth. You say, man, nobody said a word. I'm just trying to prepare you folks, prepare all of us. It's school time again. I wish I could have preached this 2 weeks ago. Probably should have before all our kids went to college. But sometimes it's not the kids. Sometimes it's the parents who try to remove adversity from the life of their child. Class should be hard. College should be hard. Why? Because life sometimes is hard. Get used to it. Deal with it. Adversity in college will come. And when it does, it prepares them for real life. We have a country full of people who complain at the first hint of adversity. First hand. And brother,
we weaken, we get feeble, we immediately go into an attack mode looking for a way to eliminate the adversity. The adversity is not our enemy. The adversity is not the cause of our fainting. And the truth of the matter is, the reason we want to blame the adversity, we put the blame on the adversity. When we do, we're actually putting the blame on God. It's too severe. It's too heavy. I can't handle it. It's too much. Friend, I got a Bible that tells me God won't bring that kind of adversity into our lives. Won't do that. Whatever He brings into our life, I can deal with if I get enough strength. Our strength is small. Instead of attacking the source of adversity, why not question, why is my strength small? Why is my strength small? Adversity does not have to make me faint. It does not have to make me feeble. If it does, there's something wrong with my strength. Now approach it that way. Son, honey, I know it's hard. It's college. It's not high school. They're not going to wait on you. They're not going to just hand and foot like elementary school and high school. You're in the big leagues now. Don't attack the source of the adversity. Find out why your strength is small. There is strength available for you to endure the adversity. Rather than attack the source of adversity, attack your lack of strength. That makes sense to y'all. Because it doesn't say if I faint in the day of adversity, the adversity is too strong. It says thy strength is small. You know what you do when adversity comes? Turn the spotlight on me. Put it on my heart. God, why am I not strong? My strength is small. Show me how to increase it. Show me how to grow it. Show me how to be strong. Why do I want to attack the source of adversity? Why don't I work on myself? Make me strong. Adversity comes to a marriage relationship. It comes to a marriage relationship. It comes to a marriage relationship. Some of you guys, you're living in the honeymoon right now. There's nobody that goes through several years of being married that have some kind of adversity during and in that relationship. And husband, sir, your wife, you don't need to worry about your wife. If you can't handle the adversity, why attack her? Husband, wife, why attack your husband? Why? Where is the spotlight on me saying, God, it's a little adversarial right now, help me. Make me strong. Build me up. I need some folks. That's going to come. Adversity is going to come in a marriage relationship. I want to say something, ladies. Boy, you ladies especially, the way God made you and your bodies and the change of life and all the hormonal changes you go through at different ages. Some start, they say, as early as 35. Some ladies don't go through it until they're 55. I want to tell you something. You don't need to run off to some seminar to teach you how to be an empowered woman. We don't need that. And all these pep rallies to stand in the pews and rah, rah, I'm a woman. Yeah, you don't need that. I'm right. That's right. We just need to get on our knees beside the bed and pray, God, make me strong. Make me strong. We always want to look the other direction. Always want to find somebody else to blame our problems on, to blame our lack of strength. And if I could just eliminate that source of adversity, I'd be okay in life. Deal with the adversity, folks. Get on your knees and ask God to make you strong. Adversity comes in child rearing.
My boy is 17. We just never thought it was. Wah, wah.
Going to come, folks. I doubt there's a family in here that's going to sail through with every child. And we sailed with a child. And then we hit bumps with others. You deal with adversity. You don't look to blame the school. You don't look to blame the youth group. You don't look to blame somebody else. Deal with adversity. Get on your knees and get strong. Amen.
Your school teachers just started this week. Diane, where are you sitting tonight? Where's Diane? Diane over here. Emily, where are you sitting, Emily? Where's Emily? Here we go. Susan, there you are. And then we have Mrs. Gardner. I think she's home with a sick child. Sharon over here. One, there's going to be days that are full of adversity in a school year. I bet some of you moms teaching at home, you have days of adversity when it comes to school. Well, if I could just get that problem child out of my class. You know, sometimes a child has to be removed from school. I understand that. But a lot of times, teachers, you just need to get on your knees and get strong. Just get strong. I don't mean ugly. I don't mean hard-hearted. Just strong. Bear up during the adversity. I was thinking about Ben on deputation. Ben, when you got it on deputation, son, you're going to hit some adversity. You know that? Tons of it. And when you do, it's not the pastor and the church, and the pastor didn't know I was coming, didn't tell the people, and bought the pastor and the pastor and the pastor and the pastor. You deal with the adversity. You don't eliminate it. You don't try to run from it. You get on your knees and get strong. Be tough. Adversity comes on the job. We don't need whiners. Get tough. Get on your knees. Adversity comes in the realm of finances. Adversity comes in the middle of human relationships. Adversity comes at mom at home rearing kids and teaching. I mean, folks, look, God set the day of prosperity against the day of adversity. In the day of prosperity, rejoice, enjoy it. But when the day of adversity comes, you don't fall apart and run around trying to blame everybody else and eliminate the adversity. Get strong. Lord, increase my strength. The proper amount of strength will cause me not to faint. Where can I get more strength? Where can I get more strength? Where can I get stronger? Instead of God, take this away, Lord, increase my strength. Let's look at a few verses tonight real quick. It won't take long. Look at Isaiah 40. You know this verse. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. Isaiah 40, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a verse that you need when times of adversity come. That's the verse you need. They that wait upon the Lord, have your devotions, read your Bible, pray. Folks, can I help you with something? Make an appointment if you need to come see me, but be assured of one thing. If you're in the time of adversity, I'm going to get around to asking you about your devotional life. And if you're not reading your Bible or praying, I don't know. That's where we're going to start. Dr. Lee Robertson, 42 and a half years down there at Highland Park Baptist Church. His counseling was like, he never counseled in his office. He counseled on the front row of the church pew. All the folks need to see me. Come down the front, stand right down here. And I'll sit down and put, what's your problem? Well, Dr. Robertson, I got this and this and this. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you tithing? You come to church 3 times a week? Are you witnessing for the Lord? Oh, you're not witnessing. Good to witnessing. You're not tithing. Start tithing. Got to read. Got to pray more. All right, next, what's your problem? Running through like cattle. That's your problem. You're not reading your Bible. The truth of the matter is, in the day of adversity, I ought to increase my Bible reading. I need more Bible. In the day of adversity, I need a more effective, fervent prayer life. I need to pray with more intensity. I need to really put my heart into it and seek God. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And strength is what helps me endure adversity. What it says. Either we believe it or we don't. Don't believe John 3:16 and then cut Isaiah 40:31 out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon God. Pray. Read the book. God will help you. Look at Psalm 138. Turn over to that passage. Psalm 138. Look at verse number 3 with me. Psalm 138, verse number 3. Well, that's a great verse here. I love this verse. This is exactly what we need. Verse number 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me. And strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Not physical strength. Strength where?
in the soul. That's what we need in times of adversity. Soul strength. The answer is not found in the elimination of adversity. The answer is found in strength, not to faint in adversity. You see, folks, listen. It may not be best for us that the adversity be removed. In my mind, your mind, that's how we think. If this could just be taken away, everything would be fine. It may not be in our best interest for the adversity to be removed. It may be far better for us to learn that God cares, He hears, He loves us, and He will answer us. Tell me that doesn't put some oomph in your soul when God answers your prayer. And the adversity is the tool He uses to build your strength. So when your boy calls from Bible college or your daughter starts whining a little bit, how's your prayer life? I would tell you, Bible college is the easiest place in the world to backslide. Because you are in an environment of spirituality. Preaching, oh my gracious, 5 times a week, Monday through Friday. Visitation on Saturday, going to church on Sunday. I mean, I'm for all that, friend. But if there's not a few moments of personal time in that book, personal time with your God, you're going to backslide. So when they call crying, pray an extra 5 minutes. Well, I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to call Dr. So-and-so and Brother So-and-so. Stop. Your child probably will do much better if he or she learns that, man, I can get on my knees and God hears me. And when I was in Bible college, I mean, day after day after day of 3.5, 4 hours of sleep. Now, folks, even when you're 20 and 21, after a while, you wear out. I remember being so tired driving to UPS in Hammond in the middle of the night, third shift. I remember being so tired. Little gravel parking lot that I pulled my car into, had the window down. You know, you do everything. Put your head out the window. You ever done that? Spit into the wind. I mean, you know, whatever you have to do. Brian Sharp, he said we were coming home, and it was about 19 and a half hours. And he said, getting a little sleepy. Reached in his wallet, took a $20 bill out, rolled the window down, held it out the window like this. I keep you awake. Don't let go of that. He's crazy. He's fun to be with. When I pulled in the parking lot, heard the tire of my vehicle hit the gravel of that parking lot, it woke me up. I have no idea how I got from Crown Point to Hammond. No idea. I mean tired. Some of you parents right now, oh, my son. Yeah, well, that's what he's going to go through. I get to the place, not every day, but every now and again, get to the place where I'd get to my knees. I'd say, dear God, I have 4 hours to sleep. I need 8. Could you take this 4 and make it feel like 8? When that alarm clock went off, I may be fresh as a daisy in the springtime. Just, and you know what that gave me? Man, God heard my prayer. God answered my prayer. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. He took 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish, multiplied that to feed 20,000 people. You think he can make 4 hours of sleep feel like 8? Sure he can. Spurgeon said, quote, sweet are the uses of adversity. And our prudent Father in heaven will not deprive us of those benefits. What a quote. sweet are the uses of adversity. And our prudent Father in heaven will not deprive us of those benefits. And I want you to notice in this verse, the psalmist said, in the day when I cried. That's what we need to learn. That's what our kids need to learn. God will strengthen us that day. Monday. Are you in adversity right now? Then on your knees tomorrow morning, you begin to pray, God, I need strength. In the day when I cry, thou answerest me. God will strengthen us for the adversity. When God strengthens, no one can weaken. And a strengthened soul is the best answer to prayer. That's truth. Look at Genesis 49. It'll be the last passage. I'm done. Genesis 49. Just want to be a help. Encourage your heart tonight. Genesis 49. Look at verse 22. This is Jacob's dying blessing on his sons. Joseph. Verse 22 is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. That's prosperity, isn't it? Is that prosperity, folks? Faithful bough by a well, branches run over the wall. Does that sound like prosperity to you? Next verse. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. What's that? That's adversity. What's that? That's life. Look at verse number 24. But his bow abode in strength. In other words, he never failed. He's being shot at. He was hated. People taking pot shots at him. Are you listening? The Bible says his bow never failed. Well, I'll get you. I'll get you. I'll get you. I'll get you. He's steady. Now you men that shoot bows, you know how difficult that becomes to be at full draw? I don't care how much let off you've got on that draw, 60-75%. After a minute or two, you weaken. Look what it says. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Man, come here, Ben. Here's Joseph. He's enjoyed prosperity. Everybody hates him, starts shooting at him. His bow, act like you're... Okay? All right. Terrible form, son. But anyway, you ain't going to kill nothing like that. Amen. He's a full draw. Joseph's steady. He's hanging in there. But his arms are going to weaken. What's he going to do? Run around, he's got one arrow. What's he going to do? He's got 15 adversaries. How are you going to use one arrow against 15 adversaries? The Bible says that God strengthened him. That's what you need. That's what your freshman boy needs. Brother Rick, you'll need that, brother. And Elaine, it's one of the hardest things in the world. Rick, Rich, drop a kid off. Horrible. It's great, but it's horrible. when your arms start to weaken, Rick, your arms start to weaken a little bit. Yeah. You're going to learn, brother. You got a God in heaven. He's going to just take over. Whew. What better lesson for a young man to learn? What better lesson for a married wife to learn? To dad. God's hands are strong. Someone said the child of God should be like the vine growing up the side of the big oak tree.
You ever seen that out in the woods? Great big oak tree. Some vine crawling up there. Here's your oak tree. Here's your vine over here. The storms that come from this side, the oak tree protects them. Protects that vine. Rain, wind, don't beat against it. Protect it. When the storms come from this side, that vine is fully exposed to the wind, the storm, the rain. But what does the storm do to that vine? Just presses it closer to the oak tree. You know what adversity needs to do to us, friend? Just press us close to God. He's got all the strength we need. Jesus, help me to be for Thee just like a big, strong cedar tree. When all the other trees are bare, the cedar stands so green and fair. The wind and storm, the ice and cold make it more beauty to unfold. So I would stand in trial and test, just trusting You to do what's best. Though others fail, Lord, keep Thou me. May I, a cedar Christian, be. If you faint in the day of adversity, it's not the adversity. It's your lack of strength. But don't panic. He's got all you need. And it was just good to know. It's not me, it's Him. They have prosperity, the day of adversity set against each other. They have prosperity, enjoy it, rejoice. Thank You, Lord. When adversity comes, you press up against that oak tree. Amen? Let's pray together. That's my message tonight. Lord, I love these people. I want to help them. My mind was on many of their situations while I was in Canada. You know that. I think, Lord, about these people taking their young, precious children to Bible college or some Christian school somewhere, dropping them off, getting in a car, making a journey back home, and an empty seat at the table for the first time. I think, Lord, about a student far away from mom and dad for the first time, maybe. The schedule, the pace, hectic. But I pray, God, that You'll rear a generation of 18, 20, 22-year-olds who know how to be strong in the day of adversity. I pray You'd help the men in this room. I pray You'd help the wives, the ladies. I pray You'd help the young men, the young ladies. Help us all, Lord. When the day of adversity comes, they will seek Your face and pray, wait on You, and ask You to make us strong so we can bear it. Now, thank You for it, Lord. Speak to our hearts tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Someone here tonight would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if it's heaven or hell for me. I have no idea. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, tonight? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that, from side to side, front to back? Anybody, visitor or member? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right, if you're here tonight, you've been saved, never baptized in deep water since you've been saved. You can follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Do it tonight. Be obedient. You come as soon as the invitation begins and follow Christ in believer's baptism. Now, child of God, how about you? Is it the day of adversity? For some it is. For some it is not. I wonder tonight who would say, Brother Angel, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart tonight in a specific way. Pray for me. I needed that. Would you lift a hand tonight somewhere in the auditorium? Many. God bless you. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's invitation time. Would you come? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, they will. Would you come tonight, church? Don't be ashamed. You raise your hand. If I had to come from the back row, I'd come. I'd make some move. I'd just let God know. He spoke to my heart. I'm going to respond. Would you come tonight? In the day of adversity. Now faith, the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You don't have to faint. You don't have to give weak. Nope. Press up against that big old oak tree, friend. Would you come? Would you come? That's right. stronger because of it. Let's sing that with him. You know what I'm singing out tonight. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Good thing, folks. It's real. It's a Bible principle. Well, I feel good. No, you don't need to feel good. You need to get strong. Amen. All right, be seated. Let's have a few announcements.